Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Samach Gimel, and we're at the very, very top of the Omud. And if you recall, at the end of yesterday's blat, we spoke about the inyan that a person should not go and paskin a shayla if his rabbi imoy, if his rebbe is close by. Don't paskin a shayla, it's not respectful to go and paskin if your rebbe is around. And the Gemara, in fact, gave already a couple of examples of Rav Chisda and Rav Huna, where the Gemara said that Rav Chisda wouldn't even paskin on a shayla of be'asa be'kutcha. Someone asked him, are you allowed to eat egg mixed together with a yogurt or some sort of milchi dip? What would be the shayla? Because an egg comes from a hen, right? At least most of the time. And a hen is most of the time it's fleishiks. So maybe the egg is fleishiks and the kutuch is milchiks. But we all know that that's a klotz kasha, a klotz shayla, right?
Kol ba'yesh sen minachai.
Right.
It's not also.
It's not also, chas. But where
actually, what the egg comes from? You can ask a kasha and amuritz.
Are you allowed to go and eat eggs together with cream cheese or together with milchiks? Yes or no, Rabbi Cohen? Clear.
I have no problem with it.
You have no problem with it. But the person, the Gemara, asked that shayla, and Rav Chisda said, I'm not going to answer. I defer to my grand rabbi, to Rav Huna. Rav Chisda refused to answer, even though it was a Gordish. Everybody knows that. He didn't go on answer. I'm just recording the Gemara of yesterday. You weren't here, Rabbi Cohen. This is the Gemara of yesterday. So it says that Rav Chisda did not paskin as long as Rav Huna was around. However, the Gemara made an exception to the rule. When Rav Chisda was in Kafri and Rav Huna was in Pumpedisa, then it's Rav Huna's Nishda, and we need to have an answer on the spot. We cannot wait for the FedEx that's going to take 3 weeks to take the Shaila back and forth. We have to know now. So Rav Chisda had to paskin be Kafri when Rav Huna was away. So from now until almost the entire blat, the Gemara is going to go through a series of cases about Rabbanim that did or did not paskin shaylis when the Rebbe was around or not around. As you'll see, there will be some very fascinating stories. And the Gemara begins the top of the Yomid, Rav Hamnuna, Oiri Becharto di Argos. There was a place called Charto di Argos. How did it get such a name? Meaning, the name of the shtot was Charta. But apparently, there may have been more than one Charta around. This Charta was built by a person by the name of Argos. And that's why it was called the Charta of Argos. And Rashi brings that he saw B'chivis HaGa'onim, that this wasn't just your normal average individual, that this Argos was an Amgushi. Amgushi is usually explained to mean a sorcerer, person that engages in black magic, which is usually considered to be a pejorative or negative connotation. So this Mr. Argos wasn't such a bzaza groisa tzaddik, but he did build the city called Charta. So Rav Hamnuna was in Charta the Argos, and he would paskin b'shnei de Rav Chisda during the years that Rav Chisda was around. So Rav Hamnuna did paskin during the time of Rav Chisda's reign. We'll see in a moment what Rav Huna's relationship was to Rav Chisda. We'll see shortly. The Gemara now tells us, Ravina sor sakina bebavel. Ravina did allow for the bedika, for checking a sakin in bavel. Rashi points out from another Gemara that it was the custom in Talmudic times, and in fact, even nowadays, I don't know about Mamish nowadays, but at least before the war, it was still a custom in many communities, that a shoychet that was appointed to be the shoychet, he would regularly go and show his chalif to the chochem, so that the chochem could go and feel it to make sure that there was no pigima in the chalif. So it says that the shoychet showed his sack and his chalif to Ravina, and Ravina was willing to, and in fact he did go and inspect the sack. So Rav Ashi was a little bit upset. It's Omali Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said to Ravina, my taima oved mar hochi, why did you do that? Now the Gemara doesn't tell us, but we'll see in another moment or two, that Rav Ashi was in fact the Rebbe of Ravina. and therefore Rav Ashi felt that this was not right. Just like we said yesterday, that a Talmud is not supposed to paskin b'mokim rabbi, even modest shyness of inspecting a sakin also involves a certain degree of halachic fluency and psakalocha, and so therefore he said, you shouldn't have done that, I'm around. As Omalais Ravina answered back to Ravashi, answered Ravashi, Varavamnuna Oiri Bakharta the Argos Bishneid Rav Chizda. Wasn't Rav Amnuna also a Talmud of Rav Chizda? And didn't he paskin and charta the Argos? So you see, so Nishka Ferlach, so Rebbe, Rav Ashi, why are you getting so upset against me, Ravina? Omalei, so Rav Ashi said, what you said is correct, except there's only one word missing. What was the one word missing? The word was lav. Not that Rav Amnuna oyri becharta the argos, but lav oyri itmar. I have been kabbalah that Rav Amnuna did not paskin becharta the argos. Otherwise, the story is absolutely the way you said it, but you just left out one key word, the word ikachusim and asayfa the lav.
Well, it's a
dovya
dua that this shows that a person accepts the other guy as Rav.
Right.
So really, it was a
chutzpah. We're not finished. The Gemara is not nishkendi.
No, all I said was that this is not stam achucham. This is show taka to the Rav, the
Chalav. Yeah, bad, bad. In a chanami.
Moshe had to give out all the halachas down the road because he couldn't cover everybody. One person couldn't cover all of them.
Okay, we're talking about a small shem. We're not talking about 8 million people and telephone calls from all over the world. We're just talking about in the Gan Zachar to the Argus, probably.
The giving out.
Anyway, so he said to him, Omalei, lav oiri itmar. Ayah bekabola that Rav Amnuna was lav oiri. So Ravina was not fazed by what his Rebbe taught him, and he told him, Omalei, itmar oiri vi itmar lo oiri. The truth of the matter is, we're both right. That Rav Amnuna taka was oiri hi paskin el char to the Argos, and he also did not paskin el char to the Argos. What do you mean? Make up your mind. Bishnei dravuna rabbe, hu doloi oiri. The Talmud Chaver delay hava vanonami Talmud Chaver de marano. Ah, so what the Gemara is telling us is the following: we already spoke about the fact yesterday that Rav Huna was the Rebbe of Rav Chizda, but now that the Gemara is telling us is that Rav Chizda had another peer, meaning another Talmud together with him in the class by Rav Huna, and that was Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna and Rav Chizda were both Talmidim of Rav Huna. Chameinim. Oh, so now the Gemara tells us that as long as the Alter Rebbe, meaning Rav Huna, was still around, Chas Hashem, Rav Hamnuna wouldn't open his mouth. He said, the Chris Rebbe, he would never pass in Mokam Rabbi. After Rav Huna passed away, Rav Chizda became the new Rosh Hashiva, became the new Rav. But Rav Hamnuna's relationship to Rav Chizda was not the same relationship that Rav Hamnuna had to Rav Huna, because Rav Hamnuna was a Talmid of Rav Huna. There he wouldn't open his mouth. However, compared to Rav Chizda, he was a Talmid Chover. What means the Talmud Chover? Rashi says he was Chacham Kimoisai. He was the great sage, just like Rav Chizda. El Shalom Mimena Davarach Rayoiser. However, he learned a couple of things from him over time. Yeah, okay. Even if you learn one or two things, you see a Rebbe, fine, give him COVID, I'll say fine. Abach mine, that wasn't his Rabbi Muvak. He was more a Chover, more of a colleague and a peer, as opposed to being a disciple, a Talmud. So therefore, Sokta Gemara, that's why I, Ravina, took the liberty of paskining now, even though you're around Ravashi, I paskin by looking over the Chalev, because my relationship to you is the same type of relationship as Rav Hamnuna had with Rav Chizda, and that we are closer to Talmud Chover rather than being Talmud of a Rav. Omer Rava. So now the Gemara continues on, and Rava now gives a limitation on this halacha, and he says, "Tumer rabbanon chozi lenafshe," meaning, what happens if you have a Talmud Chacham who himself is going to now shecht with a chalif? If he happens to be not just a shoychet, but he's taka Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have to show it to the Rav, because he himself is the Rav for his purpose. In other words, if Eken al Hilchais Chulin mit Hilchis Shchita mit al Halachis, he'll check the Chalif himself. He says, it's good. Sumer Bona Chazanafshi can go and check it out himself. So now the Gemara gives us a story.
Which, no geya, shouldn't he not be able to do it because
no geya is usually more if you're talking about money matters. You want to make sure you make some money. Everybody has a negia for money. Over here, the person
eating it himself.
He's eating it himself. He's not selling it. He's eating it for himself. He's eating it for himself.
His wife could cook without
asking at all.
He knows it's kosher.
Exactly. So Ravina came to the city of Mechoyza. That was the city of Rava. Rava was the Reuven Mechoyza. Isaac Ushpezichne Sakina Vekamachvile. So his innkeeper brought the sack and the chalif and said to Ravina, I want you to go and take a look at the chalif. Amalei zil amtai l'ruva. So Ravina said, no, don't show it to me. Rebbe of the Shtut, the rabbi in town, that's Ruva. Go and show it to Ruva. Now don't show it to me. Amalei, so he told him, you're quoting Ruva. Leisova mar hadi omer Ruva. Didn't you hear what Ruva said? Tzumer rabbanon chazlan avshe. And I'm going to use, since I'm the innkeeper, I'm going to go and use this chalif for shechting tomorrow's lunch or tonight's supper. So therefore it's lenafshe, it's for your purposes. You're going to get the benefit of it. If that's the case, you should be allowed to go and check the chalif yourself, because after all, that's what Rava Paskin, and you said this is the city of Rava. Amaleya no mizbin zavina. What does that mean? Says Rashi, it's not that I'm going to go and shecht. You're going to go and shecht. And then what are you going to do? You're going to go and sell me the portions. I presumably he has to go and pay separately for lunch or for dinner. Otherwise, a la carte over the whole dinner. But Lamaisi has to go and pay for it. So therefore, you're shechting for yourself, and you're selling it to me. So I'm just like any customer that's buying from someone else. There you don't have the heter. The heter is if I'm shechting for myself. You're shechting, you're going to go and shecht. So you're asking me to go and give you a heter on your a Kabbalah or a
shlichus. It's a shlichus. He's asking to say I'm your shliach for shlita, effectively.
Yeah, okay, but presumably there were other guests as well. He probably wasn't the only one. So you look at Rashi Ana Mizben Zvina, about a quarter down the Amid, next to Torah or Hashalom, Ana Mizben Zvina, ki achilna mehai bisra, bidami ana zavin la minach. You're not giving me as a present. I'm going to go and pay for it. It's not as if I'm shechting. You're just like any other shoycha that shechs and sells and shows the chalav to me, and I say go and show it to the roof. So therefore, it's not the same as a rav is heter to go and check it for yourself.
Could this be? This has to be a different ravina.
Yeah.
Somebody who was together with the Rabashi was also together with the Ruva. He said there were a few daughters apart.
Ruva was also from the last daughters of Amiron.
Ruva and Abai were a few daughters before Rabbi.
Well, Papa, then Rabbi Ashim
Ravina. Yeah, I'm just saying it looks smart. Even it's the same name.
Hey, I wish that.
It could be.
If you look at the Tab Toises says it were two Rav Hamnunas. He doesn't go into two Ravinas, but two Rav Hamnunas. He says one time Rav Chizda, one in a later generation. Anyway, it's come Zayn. Burich Atu Adino Iliheini Melech Hu Olam Shehakol Nihiya Bidvura.
I'll look it up.
Yes, Rabbi Cohen, would you like to say a few words? If we're talking about Shechita, we have to hear your voice.
Experience.
Yes, please. We were waiting for it.
I was in a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Blumkranz came with some Talmidim.
Oh, boy.
And at that time, the Satma was Shechting.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested that the Satma Shechit, to give his Chalav to Rabbi Blumkranz. I'll cover the Rav.
Right.
And check it. So he says, he's not my Rav.
Ah.
Now, do you have to give your Rav, or you have to give any Rav Talmud Chochem comes in?
Our Gemara is only addressing his own Rav. His own Rav.
You have to give your own Rav?
Yeah. Although this last story is talking that Rav was the Rav of that Shtot, but...
No, because I thought that any time a Rav comes in, I'll cover the Rav. You show...
All right.
You have to show how many people.
He probably was thinking about that. The Gemara talks about that.
It's a very good question.
Of the town.
I suggest that you ask your Rav exactly what he.
I don't have a Rav.
So let's continue on. So you should bad time to get one. I say look a Rav.
The problem with the way the Gemara is that. Yeah. We don't know that there was an official rabbi in the city, or there was no one.
And Mechoyza, the Ruva was the Ruva of Mechoyza. He was.
So
therefore, Ravina says, I'm not going to look at it. Ask the Ruva. Ask the Ruva.
He was like Europe, not like America.
He was a real Ruva. He was given the Ruva with the Rishbez, the Metallus. Yeah, given a good say, Lachit. Anyway, so let's continue on. Zimor Yetzvaita, Simon Zila, Lahania, Machlef, Ika, Viak. Reb Aluzim Hegronia. V'rav, here it says V'rav Abba, on the side it says V'rav Acha Bar Tachlif. We're going to see in this story there are three Rav Achas. Apparently the name Rav Acha was very popular. Rav Luzmei Grodnia V'rav Acha Bar Tachlifa Iklo Lebei Rav Acha Berei D'Rav Ika. These two Groisiyin came to visit by Rav Acha Berei D'Rav Ika. V'asrei in the city that Rav Acha Ber Yankiv was the roof. So Rav Acha Ber Yankiv was the roof, Rav Acha Berei D'Rav Ika was the balabus, and the other two were the guests. Is boy Rav Acha Berei D'Rav Ika lemevid lehu igla tiltza. Since Rav Acha Berei D'Rav Ika was the host, he wanted to go make for them the best delicacy possible, the igla tiltza. What exactly is igla tiltza? Gemara brings it fairly often. Rashi says two pshatim. Igla tiltza means gedol shlish. In other words, they knew the people that raised animals knew when they were at the most tender point, and the most tender point was when they had 1/3 of their growth. Whether that means in weight or what that means in years, I don't know exactly, but presumably if your regular animal lives 6 years, so maybe at 2 years, maybe it's the most tender, it's a third of the growth. Or maybe if the average animal is 300 pounds, when it gets to 100 pounds, whatever it is, but the point is, at a gdil shlish, that's when it's really mamish betam, gishmak, people lick their fingers, it's givadik. And that's the first pshat. The second pshat Rashi says, shlishi lebeten, meaning that the mami has already produced two earlier agolim, and this is now the third that's born to the mami. So apparently the first two are bislameh mugger, a little bit skinnier, the fourth and the fifth are maybe heavier, and this is perfect, the igla tiltza, that's the greatest delicacy. Anyway, he brought a sakin, v'kamachvilhu. So now the host, which was Rav Acha Berei D'Rav Ika, is showing now to his two guests, Rav Luzer Mehe Gronya and Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, he's showing them the chalif that they should say, yeah, it's a good chalif. It's omulahu Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, le'lechesh le'lesaba, aren't you concerned that this is the town of Rav Acha Bar Yankiv? So why don't you go and show the chalif to him? Why are you asking us? As Omulahu Rabbi Luzer Mehe Gronya, who was one of the two guests, he said, "Hachi Amar Rava, don't you remember what Rava said? So therefore, we should be able to look at him because we ourselves are going to shecht it. You're going to go and shecht it, Rav Acha, so you can look for yourself." Says the Gemara, based on this, Chazi, Rabbi Luzer Mehe Gronya Taka inspected the knife himself. The Anish Rabbi Luzer Mehe Gronya, and unfortunately Rabbi Luzer Mehe Gronya was punished. It doesn't say how he was punished, but he was punished. Apparently, min hashemayim, that some sort of punishment befell him. Frank Timar, what's wrong? After all, didn't we just say now that if he's going to shecht himself, so then he's allowed to go inspect it, and presumably Rabbi Luzer Mehe Gronya is going to go and shecht himself, and he inspected it. So what's wrong? Sigmar gives three terutzim. What are three terutzim? Shani Hasim. Das chilu bichvoidai. What size das chilu bichvoidai? Says Rashi, if nobody would have mentioned the godless of the Rav of Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, they would be silent and quiet. Okay, that's one thing. But they spoke about it, and they said, here's the Khalif. No, what about Rav Acha Bar Yankiv? Once his name was mentioned, they should have given proper awe and reverence and said, you're right, Taki, he's the greatest Rav, don't go and inspect it ourselves, let's go and show it to the Rav. This is Gabriel.
Isn't this the rule that the Shochet has to check it from time to time, his chalif?
He himself has to check it, for sure he has to check it. The question is whether or not he has to go and show it to the Rav of the town, or he can show it to any visiting rabbi.
If he does shkita before the shkita or other, he has to check it.
Gabe is in Hindu B'Sinkerach. But from time to time, he used to go to the Rav, either because he was taka, he had a shayla, or even without the shayla, it was something that was done to show reverence and kavod to the Rav. You know, that's, he's makabal
mars. Wasn't he a guest here? He didn't live here.
These were just visitors.
If
he was
a normal shaykhet there, of course he didn't go every time he shechted. The Rav would say, get out of here.
First
of all, showing the chalav to Rav is a separate aspect between the shaykhet. He's supposed to shecht b'chabit.
Yeah. The Rashi says in the third line from the top of the Umid that the inyan of showing the sakin l'chochem elapnei kvoidei shel chochem. Part of this was more honorific than halachic. In other words, to go, the shochtim want to show that they are mekabel moris, that their ruv is their ruv, and any shalas are going to show him. So they go and show from time to time, they go and show the sakin, they go and say, Zeh, ruv, I'm under your aegis, I'm under your auspices, whatever you tell me, I accept. Anyway, that was teretz number one. That's why this is the exception to the rule. Teretz number two, but you say Mishani Rav Acha Bar Yankiv de Muflig. Rav Acha Bar Yankiv was not your regular stam shtotzrov. He was very special. In which way was he special? Rashi says he was a zokin v'chochem. He was already one of the senior rabbanim. Sometimes you see when they have articles or they have pashkvilim, they have notices. They go and say zokin hador, the poisek hador, or zakan rashi yeshivas, zakan rabbanim. So Rav Acha Bar Yankiv shengven azokin miflig mitchochem, and therefore that's an exception to the rule. There you should go and show it to him, even if you're shechem for yourself, etc.
He wasn't just a hey gimel.
Oh,
you
okay.
Say that about everybody.
It was all spelled out. Good. Sometimes, okay, fine. Omer Rava, Lafrushim Yisura, Philip Befanov, Shabbat. Okay, so I said there are three turuts, only two turuts. My apologies, only two turuts. But now Rava says another limitation. Omer Rava, Lafrushim Yisura, Philip Befanov, Shabbat. Even though a Talmud is not supposed to paskin in front of his Rebbe, however, if there is a danger that someone Chas V'Shalom is going to be over an Isser, then you don't have to go and worry about the covet of the Rav. Very famous Gemara, where the Gemara says, "Kol mokim shiyesh bechil Hashem, ein cholkin kovid l'rav." And the Gemara will develop this now with a fancy story. Ravina Aviyosel Kameid Ravashi.
I understand. So, why was he punished again? According to the second pshat.
According to the second pshat is because although when this stammer rav from shtad, that stammer rav from shtad is 25 or 30 or 35 or 40 years old or 45 years old or 50 years old.
He's a mifflin.
However, this azuk and mifflin. Oh, Shigavay is in 98 years old.
But rav is a new thing. It's not
brand new. It is. You have to put two dots here. No, everything is connected. But you have to put two dots, two imaginary dots. Yes, Rabbi Cohen. Yes. A raven bezer bozer, a raven bezer loza. Yeah, what's
it? That's it. So in other words, if you see somebody doing something wrong,
you have to be moicha, exactly. So Omer Rav, a new shtickle, forget about the shechita now, onto something new.
Somebody you see wearing climb, you rip it off even b'shikas.
Oh, it's a okay, well, let's talk about that later. Omer Rav, lafrushim meyisura afilu b'fonav shapir dami. To be mafresh someone from doing chas v'shalom and aveira, even b'fnei harav, the Talmud is allowed to protest. Where do we find this? Ravina Yosef came to Ravashi. Ravina was sitting before Ravashi. Chazil hu Gabri saw a person that he was tying his chamor to a tree on Shabbos. And that's not a nice thing to do. The main problem is, says Rashi, because he's being mishtamish be'ilon, which is a shvus, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Why he was touching the chamor b'chlal beisalnish? But Kenzai, maybe the chamor got loose, and then for some reason he went and wanted to tie him up to the tree. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You mishtamish be'ilon. Is Rama Beikala? So Ravina started screaming at him, "Hey, Shayit, what are you doing? It's a Shabbos." What? And he ignored him. On Malay, so he said, "Lehevi hay gaver b'shamta." We should put that person in chayrem. Now that was the first part of the story. So now Ravina goes to his Rebbe Ravashi. On Malay, ki hay gavna nimis chozek afkerusa la'achar amasa. Let me ask you, Ravashi, what I did is that considered to be afkerusa, meaning not showing you the proper kavod? Do you have a taina on me? After all, Ravashi had a taina in him at the top of the Amud that he looked at a sakin. Do you have a taina in me now that I was screaming at this fellow and put him in chayrim? Amalei nein, here I have no problem. Ein chochma vein tvuna vein eitz l'neged Hashem kol mokshe sheish b'chil Hashem. If you see someone that's being mechal l'shabbos and you know about it and you can be mafresh for misura, ein cholkom l'rav, you don't have to wait for me. Now you can take your matter in your own hands and you can scream at him yourself. And now Rava continues, and Omer Rava, b'fonav osur b'chayiv misa, shlei b'fonav osur v'ein chayiv misa. This inyan of a Talmud paskening b'mkoyim rabbi is so chomor that chas v'shalom, if he does it b'fonav, his Rebbe is there. Somebody asks a shayla for the Rebbe, and instead of going and allowing the Rebbe to answer, he jumps in. Chas v'shalom is chayiv misa. Rashi says chayiv misa b'dei shemoyim. However, shloi b'fonav, if he's not around, in other words, his Rebbe is taki here in the city, but he's not exactly within my close proximity, then it's also still don't do it. You still should defer and say, please go to the Rav, he lives on 19 Main Street, go and visit him and ask him a question. Vein chayiv misa, however, there is no chayiv misa. Freitimor, you're telling me that if it's shloi b'fonav, there's no chayiv misa? Shloi b'fonav, loi. Vatanya, I'll show you that even shloi b'fonav, you're chayiv misa. What do we see? Reb Lezer oim alimeis b'nei Aharon et shehoiru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. That the b'nei Aharon passed away when they paskened halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. In other words, that's what we find in the Torah about Nodav Avir that passed away. The ikar chet that they had was that they paskened without asking Moshe Rabbeinu. My derosh, what did they dash? It says in the pasuk b'nos b'nei Aharon akoyin eish al mizbeach. They themselves put eish al mizbeach. What business did they have putting eish al mizbeach? Omru, avo bisha eish eretz min hashamayim. Even though eish comes taka down from heaven every single day, he had an eish that came down on the mizbeach. Mitzvah lahavi min ahedyet. Nevertheless, it's still a mitzvah that everybody should go and bring. Not everybody, but the kahanim that are doing that avodah should go and bring the eish. Talmud Echad. Okay, so that's the first part of the story, and we know what happened to Nadav Abiyah, that unfortunately an eish taka came out down and never killed them. But now the Braisa continues on.
Said, but it was a real, they died.
They did. Now a real eish came in the Shemaim, not only on the Mizbeach, but on them in Nebuch and killed them. It wasn't an eish that consumed them, they became all charred, because it says it went into their nostrils and killed them from within. From the outside, they still looked like normal people, but unfortunately they died because there was a Nebuch Misa. Even a Misa Masa. And Reb Lezer had a Talmud. This the Brice is continuing. Shehoyr halacha befanav that Nebuch paskin the halacha in front of him. Omer Reb Lezer leima shalom ishtoi. Reb Lezer's wife's name was Ima Shalom. Tamei ani chamoyre. I'm concerned. Im yoytzis eshnosai. If chas shalom, he's not going to go and live for the next year. And Nebuch Taka, he didn't live for the next year. Mm-hmm. Nebuch, he passed away young, prematurely. It's Omra Loi, so she said to him, Novi Ata, how did you know? Are you a Novi? Omra Loi, so he said, Loi Novi Anoichi, Loi Ben Novi Anoichi. Elkach Mekoblani, Azoya Bacha Kabbalah, Kalamira, Lachov Ne Rabbi, Chayiv Misa, Chasa Sholem, he gets Misa. Okay, but we don't know yet whether this was Befonov or Shaloi Befonov.
Is that Arn's sons was Befonov?
We're not finished. We'll get back to that. The Omer Rabbah B'chana Omer B'yechanan. Oh, you say Talmud Yehuda Ben Gurya Shemoy, the name of the Talmud of this Rav that we were talking about was Reb Lezer's Talmud, was Yehuda Ben Gurya. V'hoya Rachim Mimenu Sholish Parsois. And he was far removed three Parsois. Three Parsois, a Parsa is 4 mil. Every mil is 2,000 amos. So therefore, if you have 4 mil, it's 8,000 amos. And if you have 3 times that, you have 24,000 amos. 24,000 amos is roughly 48,000 feet. And there are 5,280 feet in a mile. So you're talking roughly 8 to 9 miles away. And that Talmud died when he was paskening Shaloi Befanav. It is l'chayr araya, not like Rava. The Rava said it's got to be dafki b'fanav. Shloi b'fanav, it's awesome, but there's no Misa. This is 8-9 miles away and he got Misa. Everything where b'fanav happened. No. You got the story wrong. This Yid, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gurya, was b'fnei Rabbi Lezer when the story happened. You said he lives at Sholish Basayis. Let me ask you a question. Shmoy b'shem Aviv Lama. Why do the Gemara have to go and tell us Yehuda Ben Gurya El Shloi Toim Moshla? You shouldn't go and say, yeah, the Gemara is just going telling us story. It's not really true. This is apocryphal. He just wants to illustrate the story, but it didn't really happen. It's just a marshal. So therefore, he tells you, I'll tell you the story. His name was Yehuda, and his father's name was Gurya, and I remember he lived on Main Street, but not over here. 8 miles away down the road, you have to go 12 lights, you make a left turn, a right turn, and then ask somebody else, Visham Tishal. Anyway, the point is, that's why he told him the whole background, all the color and the character exactly. It was then. But the Masa, when this took place, the hero was Bifanath. Now you see that the Gemara only addresses the Talmud Shaila. It doesn't address the first question about the Bnei Aharon HaKohen. So apparently there the Gemara didn't have a clear-cut raya whether Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there or not. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu was taka far away, he wasn't in their proximity. So taka, why did they die? That we haven't answered that Shaila. is Eitzachos, that Itake, either Moshe Rabbeinu was there in their presence, or at least we don't know for sure, because Rashi and Chumash doesn't tell us whether Moshe Rabbeinu was standing at that point in the Mishkan Aratz. Since we don't know, we can't ask Akasha from there. Could very well be Itake was there, and that's why they got Misa. But Yehuda ben Gurion stated b'feirush that he was three parsois away. So on that, we have to answer, that just means that he lived there. But he really was befun of when he passed in the Shaila.
Yeah, but there it says Asher Lo Tzivah Asher.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's mashma that they did it. This thing that they did without asking, as they paskened on the road, mitzvah lehovim and a hedges. They should have asked him in this case.
Rashi even says that they themselves quoted Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, since they didn't wait for Moshe to say it, they said it themselves.
He should have said it.
So now the question is, since Rava said b'fanav chayim misa, shalai b'fanav yinat chayim misa, what was the story over here? Was Moshe Rabbeinu there, or was Moshe Rabbeinu not there? So the Gemara doesn't tell us. Since the Gemara doesn't ask...
He wasn't there, he was right there.
Moshe Rabbeinu may have gone out to say Tillim for a few minutes. He's going to come back. We don't know for sure. The Talmud of the Rebbe,
he was there that second.
That second, that's as they were passing. That's what Rav is telling us. If he's passing Befanov,
he's Besviva.
Ah, it does exactly.
But we don't know what the reason is why the Bnei Aaron were killed.
That's what Agamara tells us.
There are a few
other reasons why he gives, because they weren't
Shriyayin,
or because they weren't married. That's the Fashin time. But Agamar goes into the reason because they were Moir Alocha. Now it's interesting, the Gemara says over here that Shloitoimer Moshul, you shouldn't say that it's a Moshul. This Gemara is quoted at the beginning of the Hagdomat Ein Yaakov. There's a Yid whose name was Rav Avruam ben Harambam. And Rav Avruam ben Harambam has a nice Hagdomah here in the beginning of Ein Yaakov, the first Chelik, to go and give us a sense what all of the Agadatis are about. Because as you know, Ein Yaakov is only a collection of Agadatis.
Sure.
And as you know, sometimes Agadatis sound kind of a little bit, shall I say, strange, hard to understand, hard to comprehend. What is the Agadata exactly? So it says, Rav Avraham and Rambam, you have a Rai from our Gemara, that a lot of those Agadatas are not real stories that happen, but rather they are Misholim that you should learn from them. How do I know? Why did the Gemara go out of its way to say, you might have thought it's a Mashal? Why would I have thought it's a Mashal? Every a story that's quoted by the Gemara, I'm sure it's Emes Lamita Shel Torah. It's Tzach Torah line. No, you see, there are taka stories in Shabbat and the Gemara taka Mishalim, and you're supposed to learn whatever Musa Haskel from that Mashal. That's why our Gemara, he brings Mamish our Gemara over here in Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam. He says, Ukvar Heir al Ze Abba Moiri. He's saying that his father, meaning the Rambam, was already Moir on this Inyan. Umatzon lehem zal Maimer Nichbid Moir Umaydea. We find a Maimer which is very Choshev, which teaches us this rule, ki yimtza chidois u'misholim b'roiv divreim, ki inyin she'omer b'gemar b'dairavin, the Talmud Echad, sh'ayla d'arblaze, sh'ayla lach b'fonav, etc., l'hayt ishnosei, and the Gemar says, chinaviyata, so the Gemar ends off, sh'loi toime moshel hayat, hinei sh'ayroinu b'zeh sh'yesh b'divreim dvar merabim, sh'ayna mal pi pshutam. You see from this, that a lot of Agadat to Gemar is that you cannot and should not expect to understand it, poshut. Keep this raya on your heart. This is a gevaldige raya from our Gemara, that a lot of the Agadat Gemaras are not to be taken literally, they're to be taken as Mishalim to us, the Mendi here on top.
It was, it says Guzma they used.
Yeah, you are. The Derech Avoy, Derech Guzma.
So what was the Maskan about in front of? How far away do you have to be?
The Gemara does address that. That the Mefarshim address. Where the Befana means within one block radius, within 1 mile, within 5 miles, 3 miles. The Gemara doesn't address that. So the Gemara writes, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Yochanan kol ha-moyer ha-lochah b'fnei Rabbi, roi la-kishay nochash. Whoever is moyer ha-lochah b'fnei Rabbi, chas v'sholem is roi that a nochash should come and give him a bite. How do I know? Shnei mas, do ha-posik. V'yan elihu, ben barachel ha-buzi, v'yoy mitzur ani liyom. Now the Gemara leaves out the rest of the pasuk, which is really the key. So those of you that have the Torah or a Sholem, the whole pasuk is Vayan Elihu ben Barachel Habuzi Vayoymar Tzur Ani Liyam. I'm a young guy. The Atem Yeshishim, and you are elders. Al Kein Zachalti Veira, because of that I tremble in your presence. May Chavois Dei Eschem, I tremble from saying any Chavizdas, from expressing my opinion in front of you. In other words, Eliyahu ben Barachah says, since I'm a junior and you're all the senior rabbis and great, great Talmid Chacham, Zechal Tamira, I'm scared, I'm terrified, mechavoy zdei, from expressing my opinion in front of you. Now the lashon of the pasuk is alkin zechalti. Zechalti is kind of a rare expression in saying that I'm trembling and I'm fearful. Therefore, says Yomar Ksiv, there's another pasuk. This pasuk is in the Toichacha, where it says in the Toichacha mezei ra'av ulchumei reshech v'ketem mariri v'shen behemoy seshalach vam im chamas zoichal le'ofer. Chamas, I'm sorry?
It is in Hazina.
One or two passages. You check it out in the Chumash afterwards and you'll find it. Anyway, it's in Chav Beis, I'm sorry, Lamed Beis Chav Dalet. So now, what means Hamas Zeichel Yofer? Hamas means the anger, the fury of Zeichel Yofer, those that slither in the ground, in the earth, in the sands. What are those creatures that slither in the sand? That's none other than the snakes. Ah, so therefore the Gemara says, "Akin Zechalti, I was scared, I was terrified." And Zeichel Yofer, what's the Zeichel Yofer? That's a reference to a snake. So therefore, you see that someone's very Allah with me, Rabbi Roy Lakisha Nachsh. Okay, so we said it's one of the two. Ziri Omar, Rab Chanina Nikra, Ziri Omar, Rab Chanina Nikra Choyte. He's called a Choyte. How is he called? Choyte Shnem, it says the Pasik, Vali Mitzvanti Mesecha, Laman Loi Echta Loch. Aha. So, Dovin HaMelech says in Tehillim, that Vali Mitzvanti Mesecha, I kept hidden in my heart my words, and I would not express them, I wouldn't say them out loud. Why? Because his Rebbe was around. Who was his Rebbe? Gemara is going to tell us another two lines. It was Ira Hayiri was his Rebbe, and therefore somebody asked Avraham Melech Hashayla, nein, I'm not going to answer, because Ira Hayiri is around. I didn't want to be a chote. Rav Amnuna Rami Ksiva Hayataka Stidus Apsuk. One person says, believe it's a Fatih Masechta. I kept it hidden. Uksu, another person says, beside it, Tzedek Mekorah. The word Tzedek over here means that I dispensed justice. I told, I was Mevaser justice Mekorah in front of a big audience. Did he keep it to himself or did he dispense it? My gosh, because much Yahiri Kayim. Because much Yahiri Kayim. When his Rebbe was around, then he was quiet. If he wasn't around, then he would pass it. Okay, we go off on a tangent for a moment, but we're going to come back. The Gemara says over here that a person should be careful not to give all of his matonos to one coin. In other words, a person has all different types of matonos, whether it's Truma Gedoyla, whether it happens to be Tzurei L'chaim V'akeiva, whether it happens to be other types of matonos you give to the coin. Don't give all your coin, all your matonos to one coin. Spread the wealth to numerous kohanim, to multiple kohanim. And if you dafki give it to one coin, maybe Rav Lam Chas Hashem, you bring a famine. Shem says the pasuk, Ira Hayiri Hayekoyin LeDavid. Iri Iri was the coin for David the Melech. Frank Timar LeDavid Haver LeDavid Hu Daver Koyin. The Kol Yamal Lehaver. In other words, you're saying he was just a one man coin for David Melech's purposes. He was a coin. Otherwise, for everybody else, he was just a Yisrael. That doesn't make any sense. Either a coin or not a coin.
That's the reason why by Pitna Ben they shouldn't give it to only one coin. They should give it to different coin.
Give it to multiple coin. Okay.
Or the coin shouldn't give back the money.
Yeah.
Because otherwise people take them all the time. So you have to keep the money.
You know the famous story with Rav Moshe with the Pinyin Ben.
No.
No, you don't know the story?
I can't remember stories.
The story is that there was an Oisha that lived in Chicago and he was making a Pinyin Ben. So he called up Ramesha, Ramesha Feinstein Zatzal, and he said to him, Ech Beitach Ramesha, Chagrisa Simcha, please come to the Pinyin Aben. So he came. Anyway, he went out hundreds of people, and the Baal HaMishta, the Baal Simcha, gets up to speak, and he says, Rabbi, you know, everybody tells me what a schus I have. Pinyin Aben is such a rare mitzvah, and therefore, boy, what a schus, what a schia. Rabbi said, I'm really nobody. The only reason why I have this schus is because I'm Ben Acha Ben from the Kol Arya. The Kol Arya was the little from Berexas. You've heard of Berexas, not far from Grodno. Anyway, so I'm a Ben Acha Ben from the Kol Arya. That's why I was Zoicha to this Grois of Mitzvah. So Ramesha raises his hand, he says, Rabbi Yid, Shaduch Tzuchmir as the Kol Arya is Gevezen Akein. as is in Tchabenachabenachaben, was machir apigin aben. So he said, Rabbi Feinstein, please, I didn't ask you to come here to interfere with my simcha. This is the way I do it every time. When I did my first son, my second son, third son, I don't make any exceptions. I make apigin aben for every
single one. Son he makes it.
Exactly. So Skonzain, he gave.
He's a different wife, he should.
And we're not going that far. But the point is, he probably also gave apigin aben money to a different coin each time. The Gemara said you have to be makbet to give to a different coin.
Now this is a makiroi. The Torah calls it his makiroi.
Right. Okay.
It's a posik in Devarim.
Yeah.
That's a coin that you normally give to.
Everything is correct.
But it's and you're allowed to.
But the Gemara says don't give everything. If you give all of your matzahs, doesn't mean that you cannot favor a particular coin. If we had the truma, everybody would favor.
No, no. You don't give. You don't take. First of all, they say you shouldn't call one coin. Spread it.
Exactly, we're spreading it. Avada. But it says.
But now they're restricting it in what Lakewood that they look for certain people. His name was Tenenbaum, I think.
Yeah, he's a coin. Tenenbaum.
I think the server, the going went to the Tenenbaum.
Okay, let me get back. So Omer Baba Barzal, the coin news, but Tenenbaum the coin. Echad maybe Rabbi Oyim Shneimar. Ira ye iri hoye coin le David. The David would have a coin. The Kuli Amalai. Ela shayim mishag. David the Melech was always makbid to give all of his batonois to Ira Hayiri. What did it say after that? But he Rabbi made David attack. It wasn't a good idea because the fact that the two psukim one next to each other, the Gemara suggests, is a simon. Don't give all your matonis to one kain, share it with other kain. If in fact, Now we're going back to the reason why we got off on a tangent is because we said that David HaMelech did not paskin when Ira Yeiri was around. Aha, Ira Yeiri passed away, sure, wasn't around, whatever. Good, now we get back to that Inyan. It says, someone who paskins in front of someone else, then we go and demote him from his position. How do I know? That what did he tell him? He told him about the inyan of Gi'ul Nochrim, that you have to go into a Kagola on Kalim that you took from the Goyim. Now the interesting thing is, as Rashi points out, and as it says in the Pasuk itself says, V'yomer Elozer HaKoyin El Anshi HaTzava Aboyim LaMelchama Zoyzchuchas HaToyra She'atziva Hashem Es Moshe. He was quoting, he's saying, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's Halacha. But Lamaisi was saying it when Moshe Rabbeinu was around. Says the Gemara, Abagav the Omelahu, even though he told them, La'achi Abba Tziva, Va'oisi Loi Tziva, I didn't get the command. The command was to the brother of my father, because Elazar Duchzachmir was the son of Aharon, and Aharon, if I'm not mistaken, was the brother of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, he's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu, my uncle, he was the original recipient of this mitzvah, and I'm just going and repeating what Moshe Rabbeinu received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After the Hachi Yanish, nevertheless, he was punished. Chassidus in the Buzzi. What does this all mean? This pasuk is talking about that when Yehoshua was appointed to be the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the pasuk that you, Yehoshua, you're going to, anytime you have a Tashvera Shaila, you're going to have to go and ask Elazar HaKoyin and the Urim Betumim, etc. In other words, you'll be subservient to a certain degree to Elazar HaKoyin. However, afterwards, throughout the Torah, we don't find once, and we don't find Yeshua that he ever had to go and be subservient to Elazar HaKoyin. I didn't the pasuk say that you will have to be. It's a chassima that after Elazar said this halacha, b'fnei Rabbi, we demoted him from his gedula, that from now on, even though, you'll be subservient, but he never had the occasion to be subservient, he didn't have to go and ask before Elazar HaKoyin. Amr Blady called the Moisid Mila Kamei Rabbi Ozel Lishoil Beloy Vlad. Oh, yeah, Chas Shalom. A Moisid Mila, says Rashi, means he's a Meshiv Dvar Halacha. Again, he paskins Shilas in front of his Rabbi. Kamei Rabbi in front of the Rabbi. Ozel Lishoil, he goes down. Shoil normally means Gehenim. Rashi says means here Lamisa. Chas Shalom, he dies. Beloy Vlad without children, or at least without a son. Shneimer says the pasuk behind Yeshua ben Nun Mishor is Moshe b'churav v'yemar Adoni Moshe Kloim is the famous story of Elder Meidah Misnavim b'machne. Yeshua was very upset and he said Moshe Rabbeinu Kloim. Okay, go and destroy them or go and put on them the tzorchi tzibo, says Rashi, and they'll be pulling the aleim. Rashi brings the chemish. But anyway, the point. I'm sorry.
Jail.
It's like a killer. Yeah, killer aim like a killer. Uksid and Voshtei Nochdeim Nun Benoi Yeshua Benoi. The Gemara is quoting from Divrei Hayamim, where Divrei Hayamim, if you ever look through Divrei Hayamim, is a chronology of many of the Mishpachas in Klal Yisrael. It goes much further than you find in the Chumash, because the Chumash ends at the time that the Chumash was given, more or less, and after by Moshe Rabbeinu. However, later generations are quoted or are enumerated in great detail in Divrei Hayamim. So it says over there that you had this, the father of Nun had his son Benun Benoi, and Nun had a son Yeshua Benoi, and then you would expect that it would say after that Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron Yosef David Benoi of Yeshua, but there is no son to Yeshua because unfortunately Yeshua had no son. Why didn't he have a son? Because of the fact that he spoke up in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and he told him, Adoni Moshe Kalayim, if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do Kalayim, he'd have done it on his own. He doesn't need Yeshua to go and make that statement. The reason why Yeshua didn't leave over a son is this midah keneged midah, because he was mevatel klal Yisrael from Pirei V'Rivya. Where was he mevatel klal Yisrael from Pirei V'Rivya? Shenem it's in the Bozik. What did he see? And he saw someone standing opposite him with charbei shlufa biyadai, and he wasn't exactly sure who he was. So here on the side, they quote the whole pasuk. As Rabbi Cohen would say, are you one of ours, Unzera? Or chas v'shalom, are you on the other side? Are you a member of the enemy? I'm neither yours nor theirs. I happen to be a malach sent by the Rabbi Yishlan. Atabasi, I came for now. Atabasi, it's not clear what that atabasi is. We'll see in a moment what that means. But Yibo Yeshua al panav arza v'yishtach v'yeim aloi mo'adoni medaber el avdoi. In other words, the malach is coming to Yeshua, and as we'll see, he gave him a form of musr, and he gave him a telling off that he did something wrong, atabasi, and Yeshua was very embarrassed. Here it says he bowed down, and we'll see later in the Gemara he continued learning for the rest of the night, as the Gemara will bring. So Nachman, back to the Gemara, Shnem, it says, above the Yeshua, Birich, Bisein, and Beyar, he sees someone, Charvesh, Luf, Biyodo, Yuxiv, and he says, Vayoymer, Kiani, Sar, Tzvo, Hashem, Maim, Malach, Hashem, atabasi. So now, what's this atabasi mean? Omaloi, so the Malach is telling that to Yeshua, you have sinned. How have you sinned? Emesh bitaltem tamashul ben aboyim. The action bitaltem talmid Torah. Yesterday. Okay, so the Gemara doesn't tell us all the facts. Rashi tells us some of the facts that this is talking about Ishas Muhammad. And Yeshua led Klal Yisrael into Muhammad against the enemies. Aha. As a result of that war, yesterday, unfortunately, everybody was so busy with the Muhammad, they didn't bring the tamashul ben aboyim. So that was one problem. Another problem is that tonight the fight continues, the war is continuing at night, and you mevatel Talmud Torah. Well, why is he complaining about the night? So Rashi explains that it's all right to hold war during the day. You gotta wage war at some time. You can't just wage war bizman she'en yom ve'en alayla. Sometime you gotta go and wage war. True. However, you should have waged war during the day. After that, everybody comes home. They go and they take a shower, and they go and daven Maariv, and they eat some supper. But after that, everybody has to come to night seder. They should all have come to Beis Medrash for 2, 3, 4 hours to gain landing. And what did you do? You said, no, let's go and continue the war into the night. And therefore, the Malach was upset. He's coming b'shlichas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's upset about these two things, that you didn't bring the Tamar Shul Ben Aboyim yesterday, and that you're not learning tonight. So now, says Yeshua, al Eizim Hein Bas, which is the real one, the real McCoy that you're coming for? Amaloi Atabasi. The one means Atabasi. So Rashi learns Atabasi means the Aveir of now. What means the Aveir of now? That now you're supposed to be learning and you deprive Klal Yisrael from learning. That's what Rashi learns. This Gemara is brought elsewhere, either Tanis or Megillah, and the Gemara says over there, the Tosis says over there, that Ata is a reference to Limud HaTorah, because it said in the Pasuk, the Ata Kisru Lechem Es Ashira Zoyus V'Lamdes B'nai Yisrael Sima Befiyah. So you see that writing down the Torah, V'Lamda, and teaching the Klal Yisrael, that is Merumas in the word Ata. So you learn Tosis. It's not Tosis over here, Tosis elsewhere. So Ata Basi, I came for that Avoin of Talmud Torah, that you deprive them of learning at night. Why wasn't he so upset about the Tamar Shul Ben Aboyim? So Rashi explains, because it's only natural that if everybody's fighting Muhammad, then unfortunately he didn't go and bring the Tamar Shul Ben Aboyim. presumably what the Malach was telling him is, you should have set aside at least 2, 3, 4, 5 Kahanim to take care of it. Not have everybody drafted into the army, everybody, that the Shiva Necker, everybody has to have the equal portion, equal. It's a political hot potato. Yeah.
Kahanim didn't go in?
Yeah, but you see that they're Mavatlis, so how are they Mavatlis?
He asked this Isaac Mitzvah, Potomana Mitzvah.
Okay.
Kibush Haaretz.
Anyway,
and it's a real mitzvah.
It's what we call kashas amasa. Does he wear the masa? The mitzvah when the Malach comes down next time he comes visiting us, we'll ask him, please, please answer the question. But the point is that Yeshua was obviously very upset about what the Malach told him. Miyad beyelach Yeshua balayla hu b'seicho emek. What does he mean? Went into the valley. I mean, he went for a stroll. He went and delved into the tifkayt and the heiliga Torah. Okay. So what does it have to do with us? Ugimiri, and we have a Kabbalah called Zman She'orin Ushchina Shruyin Shleibim Koyman Asur Mitash Shemitah. Whenever the Orin, the Shechina, is not in their place, it's Osur Mitash Shemitah. So what is the problem that it wasn't in their place? Because they already had a Mishkan in Gilgal, and they should have had normally the Orin there inside the Mishkan, but because of this Mechama, they took the Sefer Torah out, the Orin out, and they use that in the war, just like we find by Eli HaKoyin, that about the Orin was taken away by the Plishtim. So the Orin was part and parcel of the whole war machinery and apparatus, that the Orin went with them. And normally, the Orin would have been resting now at night, because normally they only waged war during the day, and they would be learning at night. But because Yeshua was mevatel them by saying, let's continue the war at night. So if the Orin wasn't them Koymoi, even those people that were not part of the war, presumably there was a rotation. Some people were probably fighting at day, some people at night. So the Maisa, husbands and wives, could not live together that night because the Oren was Shaloi Bim Koymoi. It was fighting in the war. So that's what Batash Shemitah. This was considered to be a sin because they shouldn't have been fighting at night. The Oren should have been in its place and they should have been learning. So the point is, since Yeshua was Mavatel them from Peri Beribi that night, that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu deprived him of having a son. The inyan of learning is greater than Akrovus Tamidim. The Amalei Atabasi. You see that he said of those two violations, those two sins, I'm more concerned about the Talmud. I'm sorry, more about the Talmud Torah than the Talmud Shulbein Rabbi. Now, since we said that be careful not to deprive a husband and wife of Tashu Shemitah, so Rabbruna Amarav Kol Yoshem Bekila Sheish VeYish Shruyim Ba. Anybody that sleeps in the same room together with a husband and wife, as a result, he deprives them from being able to live together because they're not going to do it in front of this stranger. Therefore, that on him, the Pasuk says that Nishayami Tigroshin, you are going and throwing out, you're ejecting the women of my folk, based tanugia, from her base tanugim. So therefore, says the Gemara, don't do it, you're over on this inyan of this pasuk. Now what happens if the husband and wife cannot live together anyway, because it's been mainly dusa? So Freit Gemara, now Freit Gemara, the Gemara now explains, the Omer of Yosef, this applies even if the wife is anida, still don't sleep in the same room with the husband and wife. But by the fact that he'll be there, then you're for sure they're never going to come to a sin because it's somebody, an onlooker, a potential onlooker. The is wrong, Rav Yosef is right. Who was the Shmira until now? In other words, we're not talking about a chusin kala over here. We're talking about a person that's married to his wife. And the Gemara says, you don't need a shomer. Of course, we know that's talocha. Even those that have all types of strange chumras, nobody has the chumra that during the you may need it, that they have to have a special shomer there. That being the case, you don't need a shomer, so this fellow should not be there, he should get out. What's up there?
Chutz from the one, the scenario of a chuppas nida.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying chosen kala is a different story. You're right. Ahu mavua dehavi. When I say chosen kala, I don't mean that they didn't get married yet, because then they shouldn't be in the same room to start off with. I'm saying chosen kala meaning they just got married and that night. Chuppas nida. Yeah, in a charam. Ahu mavua dehavi dair ba lachman bar ristak. There was a mavui Okay, so now why are we coming into all of this? We're going back to our favorite sugya, and that, of course, is the sugya of Masechtas Erevin. How did we get off on a tangent? Because we had in our Mishnah that there was a machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Leizer ben Yaakov, and we said that we always passed Reb Leizer ben Yaakov because Mishnah Reb Leizer ben Yaakov kav v'noki, and then the Gemara said, if it's so crystal clear that the psak is like Reb Leizer ben Yaakov, am I, a Talmud, allowed to go and asking like Reb Leizer ben Yaakov in front of my rab? In other words, it's such a dove posh, it's like showing him a shtickle chumash. It's like the kutcha, the bayosa be kutcha shayla. Are you allowed to go and say? So that's how we got off on a tangent about paskining a shayla with Nei. But now we go back to the inyan of a person who lives in a chotzer, and guess what? There's a guy that also lives in the chotzer, and now he's depriving us of being able to go and carry on Shabbos. So what do you got to do? You have to be moigerle. You have to ask the goy to lease his rights in the chotzer to you. You have to ask him to lease the rights of chotzer to you. By the way, we spoke about yesterday that what happens if after he leases it, he afterwards, that's the case of the goy, and by a tzedoyki we spoke about that he doesn't have to lease, he just has to be mevatel rishusai. And the Gemara said, but be careful, make sure that you start using the chotzer before he does, because if he's going to use it first, he's going to be mevatel his bittel. And everybody was concerned, after he's mevatel, so why can't he continue using it? After all, he's not saying that he has no more rishus, he's just saying, I'm mevatel rishus to you. But the Mefarshim explained that Mechim, we're going to see on the Mishnah, Daf Samach Tes, that a person who's mevatel rishusai, he's precluded from using that chotzer, that Shabbos. And therefore, if in fact he takes any items out of his house and puts them in the chotzer, he can go and say, well, I'm just like everybody else in the chotzer. If you're mevatel rishus, you lose your rights to use the chutzah that week or that Shabbos. If you're part of an Eruv, is a different story. Then everybody can go and use it. But if you were not part of the Eruv, you're Mavatli Yerushus, then you have no right to go and use it. And if you do use it, you're showing that your whole bit of Rishus wasn't the real one, it wasn't bona fide, or that you changed your mind, because you Mavatl the bit. But here we're not talking about the tzedoki, here we're talking about a real live guy. Now he's no longer alive, but at least at that time he was alive. So Umavua Davidayba Lachman Baristik, a very interesting name, Mr. Lachman Baristik, a goy, is Omrulay Oigalach Rishus Oigulan Rishusach. Do us a favor, please rent out your Rishus to us, so we should be able to go and rent, we should be able to carry on Shabbos. So Oigalahu, he refused. Why did he refuse? We had already two svaris in the Gemara. Either he was afraid they're going to take everything away from him. If you hold, there has to be a kinyan bria. And if he holds, it only has to be ru'ua. He was worried about kishif, about that the yidna are trying to play a fast one over him. Mach agan to spell, and their vice was superstition. Okay, anyway, Nach Lachma Baristik refused to go and oigul nishusach. He didn't. Also, Amr the Bais, the Tobai, was Amr the Ton, the Lachma Aristic, a state of incomp and a lost nation, was Amr the Ton. Amr the Hu, Zilu Batilu Rishu Saichu, Legabi Chad, have the Yachim Mokim Nochri, the Yachim Mokim Nochri, Leosa. So Abai came up with a novel Dicka Psak, which Lechoira makes a lot of sense, and he said, okay, forget about the guy. What we're going to do now is the following. Remember, we had a machlokes and a mishnah between a mayor and a blazer and Yaakov. When does the goy shter? Is it only when there are two or more yidin, or even if there's only one yid? Remember, Elazim and Yaakov says it's got to be at least two or three or four or more. Then the goy shters, and then you have to talk a goy and lease. Remeir said, even one. And we said yesterday, what's the machlag between Remeir and Elazim and Yaakov? Yeah. Because shloyim and mimasav. But by one, you don't have to worry about that one yid's going to live together with a goy, because he's nebach choshed on shvichas dam. Everybody would be afraid. Said Elazim and Yaakov, that's such a remote case. One yid with one guy, you don't have to worry about it. It's not going to happen. Happens once in a million. But of course, the mayor is Chai Shina Lemiyuta. So he says, I have to be worried about such a case too. Aha. So he says, Abayi Chabdu Anaitza. The attack of 25 people live in the Chotze with this one guy. I'm going to transform all 25 Yidin into one Yid. How am I going to transform all of them into one Yid? I'm going to tell all of you, Bimafatul Yerushus to Rabbi Yankiv. Therefore, Rabbi Yankiv is going to be now the only owner of property in this whole chotzer. So there'll only be one Yid, but one guy. We pass like Rabbi Yankiv, Yaakov, Kavin, Noki. Zayigit, you don't have to worry anymore. You'll be able to carry in this chotzer. Amalu Abaya, Amrle Abaya, Amalahu, go and tell them, Zilu Batil Rishusaichu, go Mimavatu, or your Shus the Gabichat to one Yid, have the Yachum Mokim Rachi, the Yachum Mokim Rachi, the Yosef. We don't pass the Kamei, pass the Blaze with Yaakov, no problem.
So, but we said that a few minutes ago that if mevatel, then he's really mevatel reshus, so cannot use it.
So, but at least that one yid will be able to use it, and they can go.
Then just Rabbi Yankov are
able. Ain't a chanami. The others won't be able to.
There's yes.
But he will be able to go and assist them. He'll be the Shabbos kai, so to speak. If somebody needs to take something out from the bayis, the chosimadi, Rabbi Yankov, come to hell. Can you go and take this out? Okay, but anyway, it's not so simple. About guess if they attack a fremder that lives somewhere else, but someone who lives in the chotzer, they're undermining their bittel by using it, so they cannot be his shliach. A visitor from out, not part of the chotzer, he could be, but someone who lives there would not be able to. But anyway, getting back to Gemara, it says Gemara zil bittel got bichad avli yochum akaram yochum nachri yochum akaram yosem omulei. So they said to Abai, midi hutayme el dvei shchiach the dairi v'ha'cha ha'kadairi. The whole reason why we're distinguishing between one and multiple, what was the svara that Rabbi Blazman Yaakov said? Because it's so remote that one person is going to live together with a guy, we're not going to be goyzer in such a situation. But two or more, we have to be goyzer. So you're going to go tell me halachically, all of them are now transformed from 25 people into one person. But lamaisa ha'kadairi, they do live there physically.
Right.
So you can't take away the svara of the original takana. The original takana was, and we didn't say by one person, because by one person is a double shein and matzui. That's only if it's taka, one person. But here you have 25 people. I say 25 just to make it dramatic. Maybe there are only two or five people.
Okay.
But the point is, you cannot go and do that, because then you're undermining this whole halacha by saying that it all becomes one person. That's the reason why there were geyser. Here it's taka shchiach that two or three or five people live here. Even that all 25 of you mavato reshus to one guy, that's also mavato shchicha. And we're not guys. It's also Ravuna Bereid Rav Yishua. Homele Shemayt Kamed Rav. He told this Kamed Shtikol Torah in front of Rav Amalei. So Rav said, "Emkein Bital the Torah is Eirim Meyoyse Mavoi." If you're going to do this every single week, people are going to get into the minig, because after all, the guy you see is not going to go and lease. He refuses. So Zaytzachos, he has a superstition. So forget about it. So you're never going to be able to make an eitz. Every single week, you're going to have to go and do this Maasim Mit Bital. If that's the case, then people are going to be carrying over here. And people are going to go and say, there's no such thing as a Torah Seir, it doesn't exist anymore. I had a bocher by me in yeshiva, I remember, years ago. He said, America is so much easier than Europe. My mother told me that in Europe, they always had to go and have results in the fly. She always had to go salt the meat. My mother's never salted meat here in America. So you see, Baruch Hashem, the rabbis over here, that's much more kulidik, machaya, it's much easier. So they're going to go and say in this chotzer that there's no din of Torah Seir. You don't have to have Torah Seir, you can carry without Seir. So Timara, you know what? Abaye said to Marvi, make an Erev anyway, even though the Erev is ineffective, because the Goy stares. Make one anyway, so that one shouldn't forget Torah Erev. Fake Timara, now you have to worry if I can't. Yomer Erev Moyu B'Mokim Nachri. People are going to go and say, even though there's a Goy over there, you can still make an Erev, it doesn't stare after all. So you're going to have another Kilkul as a result. We're always going to go and announce in shul, and we're going to go and say, Raboisa, you know the reason why we're making an Erev, because it's a goy, that we're relying on the Erev of a goy, everybody has to move out to the shoes. So Chrasta Ledardiki means that may help in the earlier generations, at the first time when they started doing this. But they're not going to make hachroza every single week. And eventually, the children, the grandchildren, they won't have heard that hachroza, and they're just going to say, ich gedenktach, I remember my father, my zayde, my elder zayde, my getrogen, and don't tell me Mas is a goy, this Nachman Bar Ristak, he's already 150 years old, he's been living here for the last 150 years, and metruk. So you see that there's not a problem, you make an Erev. So this hachroza inyan doesn't work. Elam Rav What you should go and do is have someone go and get close to him, and he should go and become his schira v'lekitoy. In other words, he should go and either work for him, or he should go and rent property from him, and therefore he's going to be the schira v'lekitoy of this guy. And as we mentioned right the day before, 2 days ago, a schira v'lekitoy, you don't have to go to the guy, you can go to the schira v'lekitoy and you can go and rent from him, and therefore you'll be able to carry on Shabbos in that mavoi.